Welcome, everybody. Appreciate y'all being here. I'm excited to have an opportunity to talk about presenting with you this afternoon. So we'll go ahead and jump right into this. I'd like to start by introducing our speaker today is Mr. Dave. And David Kane has been with CCL for many years. Dave worked for over 30 years in energy and R&D and co-founded a company specializing in environmental pollution accounting software used by heavy industry enterprises worldwide. He has a PhD in electrical engineering from the University of Washington and an undergraduate degree from UC Berkeley. Dave is currently the presenting team leader for the Silicon Valley North Chapter of Citizens Climate Lobby and is the co-leader of CCL's National Presenter and Schedulers Action Team. He's been with CCL since 2014, and today I'm really looking forward to having a conversation to hopefully help y'all get a better chance of getting out there and doing these presentations and engaging folks with CCL. So with that, I'm going to kick it over to Dave.
Okay, everyone. Can you hear me?
Sounds good. Right.
Well, thanks so much. I know you had a lot of different breakouts to go to, but this is a special breakout for me, and I hope it's a special breakout for you. I'm going to post some collateral information in the chat, which is sort of let's see if I can do that. First of all, let me express my appreciation in a couple ways. Those of you who are CCL presenters, standing in front of an audience of strangers, pitching your climate solution, our climate solution, it epitomized what this conference is all about. It's all about grit, gratitude. And for you new presenters, presenting is the shortest, easiest way to become a super advocate. And especially for youth presenters, you just don't realize the power that you have. So why is it a great time to sharpen our presentation focus? What's happened in the past years? Is there anybody, you can mute yourself and just shout out, what's really different that's happened?
We have a president who understands that what we've done so far is insufficient. That has put the discussion of what to do at the top agenda.
Absolutely. Any more ideas? What's changed?
More and more people are now in the alarmed or concerned phase and are interested in solutions instead of the science.
That's profound, Alan.
I think more people have really noticed that there are some serious consequences to our agriculture, to our land, to our safety. So now it's more personal for them. It's not an abstract concept anymore.
Yeah, Trish, they just have to look out the window. Anybody else? Well, let me suggest some things. I was thinking about this before the presentation. Climate change is no longer a hoax. Climate change is no longer an environmentalist problem. It's broken out into the general public. And that's really profound. That's really profound. Because we are a civic organization. And we represent what the regular people think about climate change. And our presentations are to those regular people. So climate change is permanently fixed in the upper echelon of public issues. It's never going to go away. It's always been sort of a bottom dweller. It's at the top. And even after COP26, it's not going to change. Some kind of national climate action will be taken. And so in the new bipartisan bill, and I think Danny might have mentioned this, climate change, clean energy, all of this is embedded in that bill for the first time. And as you probably heard and probably know, a large number of Republicans went to COP26 for the first time. And I think last, that's most important, we're not the only game in town on having a climate change solution. And that's a good thing. So a couple of things that I thought was important before we move on to how to sharpen a presentation is what we've learned during the pandemic lockdown. And one of the things I found out, and those of you who've done presentations, and although it's few and far between because of the lockdown, but presenting is super gratifying. And you know, it's sort of I'm channeling Catherine Hayhoe here, and she's going to be closing presenter on this conference today, is that the best thing you can do to combat, the best antidote to climate depression is to communicate about climate change. And presenting is one way to do it. It's exhilarating. And so I think that's important. And the other thing is that presenting is just so much fun. It is fun. It is gratifying. It is energizing. And connecting with audiences to talk about climate change is just the best thing you can do. And moreover, that connection is infectious. And people just don't have an opportunity to talk about climate change without thinking it's a bigot argument. Then somebody's going to come up and you're going to have a big fight about. That isn't happening anymore. And CCL is one of the best organizations to have a civil discussion about a leading issue that everybody's worried about. Okay, so there's another thing we've learned, and that is people are really energized by your personal story. Why are you there standing in front of them? What convinced you to become a climate activist? Now, advocate is different from an activist, but that's super interesting to people. If you just stand there and tell them your story. And that was essentially the essence of what Dr. Aya Johnson was. You know, she was talking about her ocean work, but when she stepped aside and she talked about her upbringing and how she got to where she is today, that was the most fascinating part, the thing that just related to all of us. Okay, so what else works? We've learned that climate change presenting works best as a teamed endeavor. And the only thing that really brought this home to us is, and to me personally, is Zoom presentations. Now, they're not the same as presenting in person, but you can plug in a whole bunch of people. Who's the chat monitor? Who's working behind the scenes in the technical side of the Zoom controls? Who's dealing with the host of the organization you're presenting to and negotiating the terms of your climate presentation? There's just all kinds of ways of bringing more people involved and working as a team. And that team can be more than just in your chapter, forming regional presenting teams where you support and enable each other in your local area. And I happen to live in the Bay Area, and we have a regional team for the whole South Bay. And it's just empowering. So that's another thing I think we've learned. They like to engage, audiences do. People like to engage and talk about climate change, as I mentioned, without having an argument, civil. And the more they talk, the more energized they get. And this last thing I think is critically important too. What we've learned is that audience will generate their own presentation content if you let them. Audiences will amplify their message. And so you might think yourself as a climate imposter standing in front of a group, but they provide all of the content, the gravity, the weight, the substance. It's almost like if some of you have done a session with Braver Angels, it's the same sort of dynamic goes in there, and people love it. Okay. So
Dave, can I jump in here real quick?
Sure.
I'm curious, you know, have you ever come across a situation where you've been doing a presentation and maybe, you know, you've got some folks in the audience that maybe are climate skeptics, and how have you handled situations like that?
Well, first of all, I want to say that you want to be polite, you want to be respectful, you want to reflect and express all of the values at our CCL, but at the same time, what you want to be sure to do is not allow them to get off track. One of the things about skeptics is the things that they're skeptical about are no longer in question with their audience. The things that they're really good at is sort of weaponizing denial that it's even happening. That's less and less a problem. What is your sweet spot? What is our sweet spot is talking about the solution. And they haven't thought about that. The people who are deniers have nothing to say. And so you're at a natural advantage as a presenter talking about something that, well, this is what we could do. We could do this. We can do that. This is a tremendous way to allow yourself not to be sidetracked. Then the other thing is to have a discussion with the leader of the organization, happens to be the Rotary Club president, for example, and negotiate what this is about. Because she or he wants you to be successful. That person is the trusted person that has brought you into the presentation. And those hosts can be critically important in connecting and calming down the audience. So there's a number of tricks there. But more and more, it's not the deniers anymore. People really want to hear from you. And I maybe have spent a lot of time answering, but don't get worried about the fact that somebody is going to be up and be a skeptic. The audience will shut them down. They're not interested in hearing about radiation saturation in the upper atmosphere or this and that and all the other things. Okay. All right. So I wanted now to shift a little bit to how to sharpen your presentation, how to get more focus to it. And if you're a new presenter, you might start out, but this dynamic that I talk about, what has changed and what we've learned, plays into the three areas of focus that I thought I would share with you. First of all, focus on the audience. It's not your slides. It's the audience you want to focus in. And who in the audience are we most concerned about? Well, we just saw in the plenary session that Yale Communications has the six Americas. I strongly recommend you focus on the concern. You might say, why the concern? Why shouldn't we focus on the alarm? And the reason for that is the people in alarms are sitting in the audience, first of all, are probably already active in climate change. And secondly, if you're involved in a dialogue, they will be your natural allies. And having them speak up will convince the people who are concerned, which are still a major cohort. It's probably about 25% of people in the United States, according to Yale demographics, are in that concern. And you can pretty sure they're not acting. Okay. The other thing is to seek out conservative audiences. And the focus of your audience should be to get out of your comfort zone. Try to land presentation opportunities that speak to conservatives. And 25% of that group are reachable, and they are worth their weight in gold. So instead of preaching to environmentalists, try to edge out and address conservative audiences. Okay.
That's great, Dave. I've got a question from Pamela. What type of groups can we present to where you'll have a conservative audience?
Well, I'll tell you what my favorite, because it's not that necessarily conservative, but if you can track down and make presentations to, for instance, chambers of commerce, generally those are small business and generally they tend to be conservative. But small businesses are one step from being individuals. And you can reach them with the same kind of personal outreach that you would do. And I've made mistakes by trying to pitch a business style presentation to them because that doesn't work. And people told me that. But if you come in and make a presentation to a chamber of commerce, you're going to be hitting conservatives. And they may not, as a chamber, endorse some of what we're proposing, such as HR 2307, but those are small businesses, absolutely, absolutely. And they do it a one, and they do an endorsement, and it's one and done. It's just a great thing. So I would consider doing that. We've also gone out to, we've tabled at conservative organizations, and that's led to a number of presentations with Republican clubs. And of course, we live in sort of a blue state, and the Republicans are a little bit different than they would be if, say, if they were in the middle of the country. But nevertheless, we've been successful in making presentations, and the people that we've recruited are just absolutely fantastic on the conservative side. So, so we talked about focusing on the audience. And one of the things that's going on is there's a common play between fear, guilt, and hope. And this is, again, a Catherine Hale sort of thing. And you want to focus on hope. You want to think about a presentation that's hopeful. Why? Because that is the handmaiden for action. It really is. And that's what you want to do. And you want to achieve mind flare, mind share, and flow. Have you ever made a presentation where you know you've got them? Yes, it's a wonderful feeling. Now, what are you going to do with them? What are you going to move them? And you can throw all the slides away and put them aside, and you can engage in a conversation. You can move them. And so there's some wonderful material on achieving mind share. It comes out of TED Talks. And so you're really getting a talk rather than pushing slides. So the second is, focus on where you want the audience to end up. And we usually do a lot, give a lot of attention to our introduction, but we give much less attention to the close. It's kind of like, well, I'm done. Are you having a Q&A? The close is the critical thing. That's the thing they remember when they walk out the door. And so how would you focus on close? Well, one is, understanding that there's a difference between wishing and hoping. And most people who are concerned about the climate wish something could be done about the climate. But hope is only manifested when you combine it with action. And if you can personalize that and you can convey that to the audience, it will set you in a direction of getting them to actually get up and do something or commit to do something. The other thing is I've learned that the call to action isn't necessarily the same thing as a primary or secondary ask. Those of you who are familiar, much of what Danny talked about this earlier this afternoon is the call to action member of Congress. That's not the same call that's gonna work with an audience. And it isn't necessarily true that they're going to jump and push for HR 2307 in some audiences, particularly if they're conservatives. They're just not going to, they're not going to go for it. So the idea is to decide ahead of time where they think they are and what you can really realistically expect them to do. You know what the simplest thing is to do? Join CCL. Because then they'll be in a group, it's sustainable. They'll be developing association people that talk about climate all the time, and they're really good. That is probably the best sustainable call to action you can ever make. And it's easy. Okay, third area of focus. So we talked about focusing on your audience, not on your slides. That's just ancillary. Second is focus on where you want your audience to end up. This isn't so much the beginning of your presentation, but make your conclusion where you end up a real bang. Okay, focus on leveraging your audience's power, getting in to where you want them to end up after you've got them. And this means being, as I said, less of being a deliverer of a slide presentation. It's less of telling people what they need to know. And I know there's a tendency, this is what you got to know. And you hear it in the news, you got to know this. This is what you need to know. But it's more about being a storyteller and a narrator, and telling them a story. You're not giving them a presentation agenda saying we're going to talk about this and this and this. you entrap them in a story. It starts with your own personal story. And it really is reverting from a presenter to a listener. And that's what Mark Morales was saying, that we all need to do is we need to listen more. You need to challenge your audience, put a conversation in motion and listen. And then on top of listening, and I want to cite one of my most influential climate psychologists. Her name is Renee Lertzman, and she, of course, has been on the national call back in July. And she has an integrated approach. But one of the things she says that's most effective is not being a presenter, but being a guide. And so when you're in a conversation with your audience, after you've got them, after you know you can move them, is to be a guide. And of course, the guide is towards action. So that's a little bit of what I had in mind. In some sense, what I'm talking about is a little heretical. It's different than, well, there's my slide deck, I want to go and present, but we prove that this works. And I think that after the pandemic, and now that we're beginning to open up and do in-person presentations, yay, there's an opportunity where we rethink our whole approach. And I think you'll find that it really does work. And so here I thought I'd pause and probably use the rest of our time, because audience generate their own content. And that's what you can do right now with your comments and suggestions.
That's great, Dave. One of the things that Trish said is she's a little concerned about getting into audiences that aren't going to be 100% behind climate action, fearing that they may not know, that she may not have all the answers to the questions that they have. I know that what I found is that often admitting that I don't know the answer can be a really good way to win over a skeptical audience.
That's right. It gives you, one of the things that audience, people are really good is genuine. If you're genuine, or if you're not, they're gonna do that. So you have to present within yourself and who you are. And everybody knows that climate change is really complicated. And when you say you don't know, you're leveling with them, and that gives you credibility. I also think that talking about our sweet spot, we are really, if you hang around CCO, and you, most of you have, you become really expert on something most people don't know. What's going on in Washington on climate legislation? What do other people, other groups think about this? There's just all kinds of things that you do know. And you don't have to have numbers and figures and charts to do it, but you have enough background to speak authoritatively on something that people, well, they just don't have access to any other way.
I like that, Dave. You know, I had a presentation one time. I had a fellow, I was talking about the impacts of the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act and how it would reduce emissions. And I had one fellow who said, you know, I just don't believe that it would reduce emissions that much. And my answer to him was, okay, that's fair. You don't have to believe that. And you know, and his demeanor immediately changed. And it's like he went from combative to listening to me. And it's like just validating that feeling and giving people a chance to, you know, be where they are. It can be really helpful.
Yeah. And sometimes you can say, that's a great point. You know, that's an interesting question. That's a great point. Does anybody else want to comment on what Jerry just said or Jane just said? And then the conversation just gets rolling. You stand back and you're the guy interjecting here and there. That's what you're doing, Don, right now. This is a presentation within a presentation.
That's right. Oh, Lee's got a good question. Can you say more about how you manifest these principles within your presentations, and how does it change your slide set? You know, if you're working off a slide deck, and the audience is maybe feeling something else, how do you work within that?
I don't use a slide deck. Well, I do. The slide deck is, and I know coming from a business background, there was bullet points and there was charts and all this sort of stuff. And the first thing I realized, well, no, I didn't realize, I gradually realized that the slides are ancillary. They're interested in you. And so I can't say enough of getting out of pushing the slides and the slide deck. Now, what we do is we have to make them really visual with very little information in them because you're going for people's emotions. So what we do, and it's usually local, it's not global, and we try to connect that way. We show a lot of people in the slides. And that is really a prop for getting people to engage. So I think in the new way of thinking, if you can imagine it, is don't use the slides as a crutch.
Very cool. I like it. There's also a theme in the chat here about gathering this energy from folks, and then what do we have them do? Joining CCL is great. What else can we ask of these audiences that we get in front of?
I know this sounds a little subtle, but it really works. We've been talking about putting a price on carbon. What really engages the audience on big time to help think globally and not get down so in one, but to challenge them, what should we do with all the money? So that doesn't mean telling them that they need a dividend, but giving them an option. And so we usually give them 6 options and let them weigh it because it really matters. So what are some of the options? Paying down the public debt, right? The government keeps it just to balance the budget. What's another one? Funding green energy innovation. What's another option? Supporting climate justice. What's another one? It's a tax swap. In other words, we lower taxes. What's another one? Funding green energy infrastructure. And the last one is, dividend, give it all back. But we introduce it and challenge them and say, well, what do you personally believe? And take a poll. And of course, a lot of them are things that we wouldn't want them to do. Some of them think, well, we'll spend it all on innovation. Well, innovation is pretty good, but it's going to be too late, right? Most of this. And most of it, we have the innovation we want. If we had to, we could solve this problem. And then we ask a second poll. And meanwhile, there's a whole list discussion, and people understand those concepts, not the details of carbon adjustment tax and all that. And he says, okay, we know what you personally believe. What do you think the American people will buy into? And then we take another poll. And you just watch the swing, because it all swings to the dividend. And that's an amazing thing. And they're so interested to see what their peers think. Oh, wow, that's amazing, And so it gets them. And now you're setting them up for action. Just a trick, but it really does work. And you can spend, I would say, get rid of the agenda, because if you find you've got them, you want to throw away the agenda right away. They don't have to, you get in discussion. The other thing to throw away is Q&A. Use all that Q&A for that guided discussion. And the last is your call to action. So if you're giving to Rotary, they give you 20 minutes, take the other 10 minutes for that discussion. It's not Q&A anymore. It's, well, should we spend all the money on climate justice or should it be for the dividend? They get into it. And then you're ready for that close in the last minute or two.
Excellent. Well, thank you, David. I really appreciate the presentation here.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.